They move it to Miller. JT Miller with a slap pass.
DK Metcalf, he's got it. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Launches one. Deep left field and gone.
Curry slammed on the brakes. Oh, my goodness. Curry.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another week of Live for Sports. My name is Nathan. Joined, as always, Mr. Joseph Agusti. About to watch the Canucks lose tonight, most likely, because we fucking suck.
Yeah. Good. I mean, I'm on the side of please don't make the playoffs, because then the owner's going to think we have a good core. We don't have a good core.
No, it's never been good. Like, that's the thing. We finally made it in last year, mainly because of PDO. I do think this year that like the PDO has gotten a little out of hands, but like this core needs changes. Clearly, they already have started. So.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. I think they want playoffs. That's their stated goal.
Well, yeah, that's a bullshit goal. I'll get into this a little more. Playoffs is a bullshit goal. The goal is not to make playoffs. The goal is to win a Stanley Cup.
Well, I think if you're a team like Ottawa, the goal is to make the playoffs.
Sure.
Some teams,
but this year the goal is not playoffs for the Canucks. It should never be.
It should be win a round or two. Well, win a
it
round.
It should be win a Stanley
it should
Cup.
Be to, I think it should be conference finals. If you're going off you want to improve off of last year. Like, conference going into this year, I think conference finals would have been a successful season.
Sure. But, like, if you're seriously, like, rebuilding as a team and you're just like, ah, yeah, we're just going to rebuild to make the playoffs. No, and then see what happens. That's bullshit. Build your team to win a cup. That's just stupid.
I mean, we'll get into this, but I'm not a fan of what the Canucks brass did with the trade deadline.
Yeah, so.
And no one should be.
We're going to go over the last week of trades that we missed. So we recorded Wednesday. So we got Thursday's trades. There was a couple to go through. And then we got all of Friday. We're going to probably skip over the little ones, mainly get the main ones that happened. Then I think we'll probably just jump to NFL free agency right after that, because there's been a lot of stuff going on there. Same thing, get the big ones. Little ones can be missed a little bit here and there. Then we'll go to our NL East preview, because we have that, and then the AL East next week, the big one. And then awards probably the week after. Season starts like a couple days.
Not a couple days.
They're playing in Japan to start.
Okay. That, I mean, yes, but the main opening day is still a couple weeks away.
Yeah, that's the 25th, so 2 weeks.
13 days.
2 weeks tomorrow. I think, right?
No, that's 13 days away. It's the 12th.
Wait, they play on the Thursday. They start on the Thursday. So
okay, fine.
27th. That's what it is. Yeah,
I'll believe, I'll believe you. I don't do math.
And then we're going to, I don't know, I kind of want to quickly touch on the LeBron Stephen A beef, because it's just really funny to me.
They're both wrong. Spoiler alert.
It is funny. But anyways, NHL trade deadline. Joseph, first trade of the day, or of Thursday. I'm trying to find the most relevant one. I guess Riley Smith we'll start with. Goes back to Vegas. Brendan Brisson and a third to the Rangers.
Yeah, this is just another case of Vegas being like, fuck them picks. Fuck them first round picks. I think, looking back, I'm trying to think if they have kept any of their first round picks in their history.
They have one left.
I feel like that Brisson was the one.
I think unless it's like the
28th pick from like last year or a couple of years ago. Like, I know Glass is long gone, Brännström, Suzuki, Brisson now, Krebs. Like, they like getting rid of their first round picks, and hey, they're an aggressive team, so they know what they want and they go for it. Mm-hmm. Is Riley Smith what he used to be? No, because now he's flamed out at two teams post Vegas, because he went to Pittsburgh last year, didn't work out in the slightest. They offloaded him to the New York Rangers, and he was kind of just a third liner there. So, but Vegas, they know what they're doing. They know the player. They're gearing up for another run. So we'll see how Riley Smith does. Can't expect him to be an original golden misfit like he used to be, but useful depth, and that's important come playoff time. And
I don't like
New York, they get a good prospect, and their prospect core is looking better than it used to. I mean,
that's the thing. I don't like the return for the Rangers. Brisson's not good.
No.
He's like a 23-year-old now, I want to say, or like a 22-year-old, and he's putting up like a half point per game pace in the AHL.
Huh. He's the son of agent Pat Brisson, for those who don't know.
Yeah, he's not. I don't think he's that good. So We'll
I
see if he
mean,
turns it around. Maybe it
Vegas
was just
usually
change of
knows.
scenery. Maybe it was change of scenery. Who knows? And then the Rangers stayed active. They acquired Mr. Carson Soucy from the Canucks for a third this year.
Yeah, this is a good deal for the Canucks. I mean, Soucy had completely fallen off in terms of trust with the coaching staff. He had been healthy scratched. There had been reports that they've been trying to move him for a couple months. I said it beginning of this season. I said, Canuck fans, if you're expecting Soucy and Myers to be as good as they were on the third pairing last year, elevated a pair to the second pairing, I thought fans would be disappointed, and I was right. Hate to toot my own horn, but I do believe I was right. Both Myers and Soucy regressed this year, although I think Myers has been decent enough overall. But Soucy, big time regression, lost trust of the coaching staff, and to move off of his contract, I think it's 3.25 this year and next. Get a little bit of extra cap space and a third round pick, which we know the Canucks love to trade draft picks, so I don't expect us to have that pick for all that much longer. So Carson Soucy, you were good last year, but couldn't sustain it season over season. And the Rangers get a little bit of depth, and he actually scored the other day, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, he
So,
scored in back-to-back games because he scored in his
yeah.
last game as Canuck and then he scored in his first game as Ranger. I'm just like,
So he
oh.
went out with a bang and he entered with a bang. So he's just useful. He's a useful third pairing left shot defenseman. If you expect anything more out of him, you're gonna be in some trouble. And that's
You
where the
can
Canucks
expect
found
him to
out.
be like a low four at best.
Ugh, I think that's even a little high. I think he's a five.
That's why I said low four.
Okay, but I mean he's okay. He's just a very okay defenseman. Skate a little bit, shoot a little bit, defend a little bit. Not very physical.
I mean,
One corny thing about it was like I see so many people celebrating the McDavid cross check for in the playoffs. Like that's kind of his signature moment. And I know I'm a bit of a McDavid glazer, and you know it's fine. I'll embrace that role. But he got suspended. They lost the series. It's a weird thing to pump your chest out a
I
little
mean,
bit.
my Susie moment is him scoring in game five because I was there.
Yeah, cool. I mean that's what you should be celebrating, not a obviously dirty cross check.
Well,
I mean,
okay.
can I just hold?
Wait, do we want?
I know he was cross checked. I think it was Zadorov, who sent him down, and that otherwise would have been in the chest. We've been over this back in the day, but I mean, like, I don't know. I was just kind of silly because I think Noah Juulsen had to play the next game because.
And then Juulsen charged at somebody for a hit and gave up a 2-on-1, and they Nuge scored. I
Yeah,
remember this
so
very
yeah,
perfectly.
so I mean like I mean good for you, good for you. It's just one last thing on Soucy, then we'll move on. But there was that cross check, and then I hear Canuck fans whining about how Brad Marchand used to speedbag Daniel Sedin. And I'm like, what's the difference?
I'm just happy we get off no retention. DPD, he's looked very solid coming up. He's clearly NHL ready. So yeah, there was a log jam and you probably want to clear out space for the young guy and clear out money. So good to get off his contract, no retention, third round pick, whatever. I'm at this point they're probably just since they didn't move it, they'll probably just draft with it unless they trade for someone in the offseason, but we'll see.
Or they trade a certain player at the draft. We'll see.
Jake Wallman to your Oilers, quote unquote,
Yep,
for
my
Carl
Oilers.
Berglund and a conditional first next year. What's the
It's a
condition
good
on? Is it the trade thing if they can trade it again, right?
something like that. I don't keep too close attention to the conditions on trade deadline day. This is a good trade. I like it. Wallman does a little bit of everything. He was really, really good in Detroit a few years ago. Regressed a little bit with San Jose because he's the only real defenseman on that team. He can score, he can defend, he can hit. He absolutely lit up Mikko Rantanen in his first game with the Oilers against Dallas. He also scored, or he had a really nice assist to Zach Hyman in that game. Berglund's not a prospect. He's 25 and has like 2 points in the AHL. So it's really just a first round for Wallman, which I'll take. Oilers shouldn't be making any picks in the first round. In this era of the McDavid-Draisaitl time, this is a good trade. I'm happy they made it because Ekholm has been injured and is getting older. He's regressed a little bit this year, so they need a bit more depth on that left side. You can't play Nurse on the first pairing; it's not going to work. So I like it. Is it what I wanted at the deadline? Sort of. I did say I wanted one more defenseman, and I got it, but they didn't make the move I wanted them to make, and that was upgrade the goaltending. Was there a move out there? Probably not. I would have liked them to try a little bit harder. So, Wallman's a good player, but now they're married to Stuart Skinner, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I don't think there was any realistic chance of them going to get a goalie as much as people wanted them to. I just,
Then do it
there's.
earlier in the year, like the Avalanche did with Blackwood. I mean, I just don't understand the hesitation.
Who are the like who's a free agent for goalie this upcoming offseason? Do we know
Fucking
anyone?
nobody. I mean,
Yeah.
was Lankinen.
Was like
Gosh.
Vejmelka.
Yeah, but goalies are such voodoo. Like, Vemelka's been shit every year, and this year he's had a good half, and now he gets
Well, I
paid,
know
so.
he went good
He was good
year,
on, like,
and then
a.
he was bad last year, and then but he was good the year before that.
Yeah, but even then, it was, like, with irrelevant Arizona teams, so, like, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. There's not really much in the free agency market. It's gonna have to be via trade. And
Yeah.
I just wonder if they missed the boat. Because
Well.
Skinner, I saw this infuriating take by an Edmonton media. Edmonton media is the worst. Because they're all bootlickers for the administration. It's always the fans' fault. It was Louis DeBrusque, who I like. He's like, oh, Stuart Skinner. Yeah, he'll give up the first three, but he won't give up the fourth or the fifth. First of all, patently untrue, as we've seen. And second of all, how about you don't give up three goals in the first place? I mean, like,
Yeah,
three goals isn't good.
isn't a
I
goalie's
mean,
goals against average supposed to be below three?
yeah, it's not 1986 anymore, where three goals was on the low end. I mean, scoring's down this year. That's been a key theme of the season in my view. Scoring is down league wide. So I mean, we'll see. I mean, they're gonna make the playoffs. They're probably gonna play the Kings. Shouldn't be a problem in theory. I mean, they own the Kings. So just kind of like the Blackhawks own the Canucks for a while in the playoffs, but that eventually ended. So we'll see if they have the goaltending and the defense to put them through.
Wellman is basically a worse Bouchard to me.
He's better defensively.
He has defensive lapses, though. A lot of them. He does.
Yeah, well, that's nothing new.
So, we'll see. But, I mean, you get another puck mover. You need a defenseman. Your left side's very solid now, I must say.
It's just Ekholm's. He's been hurt, and he's 34. So
Yeah.
they needed someone a little young. So.
Hell of a job by San Jose, though. Gonna give them credit. They picked up Wallman in a second for absolutely nothing, and then they flipped. That
That
was
was just
idiots.
Yzerman
Yeah.
galaxy branding. I mean, Steve Yzerman's lucky he had a Hall of Fame career because otherwise he'd be working at McDonald's.
Yeah, they get a first and a second for literally nothing for Jake Wallman. Like, good job. Brock Nelson and William Dufour to Colorado. A first in 2026 or 2027, the Avalanche can trade it still. A conditional third in 2028. Cal Ritchie, Oliver Shillington to the Islanders. Shillington then flipped to the Ducks for future considerations, but Avs
Nothing.
get their second line center.
I like this trade for both teams.
I do as well.
The Avs needed an upgrade on Mittelstadt, and Mittelstadt's now gone. He's a Bruin. So Brock Nelson's really good. He looks 85, but he plays like he's 25. Like he's fast, he can shoot, he can pass, can do a little bit of everything. He was on the Four Nations team for the Americans. He wasn't very good, but that shows how highly some teams think of him. He's a good player. He should help in their run. I don't think Landeskog's coming back this year. Or at all.
Doesn't seem
So
like it.
we'll see. So they could use that little bit of depth. Dufour used to be a pretty good prospect. I haven't seen his stats this year, but Islanders have a terrible farm system. He was one of their best guys. But they get back. You said it was Callum Ritchie, right? He was one of the few players at the World Juniors for Canada who had a pulse. So he's a good prospect. They flip Shillington for future considerations. That's code for nothing. So. Then they get a first. I mean, the Islanders are going to have to pick a direction here pretty soon. Because Lamoriello, Sleepy Lou, he does nothing every offseason. He thinks his guys are going to magically improve. He signs players like Pierre Engvall to long-term contracts, which everyone knows isn't going to work, and then it blows up on them. He needs to pick a direction or retire because they're heading straight to purgatory if they don't
They
change
already
something
are in
soon.
purgatory.
Well, they just acquired a first, so. I mean, at least they have draft picks.
Yeah. No, I really like the return for the Islanders, but as good on the Avalanche, they needed a second line center. Mittelstadt's not been cutting it, and we'll get to that trade in a little bit. I quickly don't really want to spend much detail on this one, but Beauvillier for a second round pick to Washington from Pittsburgh. This was like the point of the deadline to me where I'm like, Canucks, fucking sell. Please, I beg. So many guys were getting overpaid. And Beauvillier is not worth a second, obviously. Pittsburgh, really
Beauvillier
good
is not
trade.
even worth a fourth.
No, probably not.
Beauvillier, I mean, he's a third liner whose points are padded a little bit because he played with Malkin. Like, he's not very good. He kind of just he's empty calories a little bit. He does a lot of cardio. He doesn't really do a whole much. But I mean, I guess Washington, they felt they needed the depth. This is probably their last real shot of the Ovechkin era.
Yeah,
So might as well go for it.
sneaky good deadline for Pittsburgh, I say. They stockpiled a lot of draft picks, which they need.
Yeah, a lot of national media are being hard on Dubas. I think Dubas has done a good job in Pittsburgh. But a lot of people don't like Dubas because he's got glasses and he's kind of nerdy. But he's done a lot of good shit in Pittsburgh. I mean, Erik Karlsson's way better than people give him credit for. It's just not a good fit. So we'll see. We'll see what they end up doing. I'm interested to see if Crosby finishes his contract.
Quickly, our the boy Andre Kuzmenko goes to LA along with a seventh free third. It's funny that Kuzmenko got flipped again like a month after being traded to Philly.
God. What could have been?
Dylan Cousins, Dennis
Andre
Gilbert, and a
Kuzmenko.
second to Ottawa, Josh Norris and Jacob Bernard Docker to Buffalo in a center, struggling center for kind of struggling center blockbuster, I'd call it.
Norris isn't struggling. You know what? When I first saw this trade, I was like, shit. Because I didn't think Dylan Cousins would fit here. And I knew Josh Norris is literally the best friend of Brady Tkachuk, the captain of the Ottawa Senators. And I was a little concerned about how the fit would work. But after the first few games and almost a week to think about it, there's nothing I could say to praise this deal more than I could. I really like this deal for Ottawa. Dylan Cousins has fit in like a glove. Jacob Bernard Docker was a bust, so it didn't really matter. Another failed Pierre Dorion draft pick. Dennis Gilbert's about his level, so that's fine. And Cousins is cheaper. At his best, he's better than Norris, and he's cheaper. And he's fit in really well. Sometimes players just got to get out of Buffalo. There's a bit of a plague there, the Buffalo plague, that as soon as
And
people
you guys got a
leave,
second too. I guess, yeah,
that's
Norris makes 8 million, doesn't he?
Norris is 7.95.
And then
It's
Cousins
a
is like
weird
seven
one.
four, isn't it?
Yeah, ball, I think he's 7-1, or 7-3 maybe. I mean, this is just a weird deal. I think they wanted Cousins out. I noticed a clip in his last game. I think Dahlin got jumped in front of the net, and Cousins kind of just sat there and did nothing on the ice. He didn't jump in to defend his captain. Buffalo got to try things. It wasn't working, and it's not going to work. So they get Norris, who at Norris is a weird player because he's fast, he's good defensively, and has an excellent shot. Thing is, he can't stay healthy, and he's pretty inconsistent. If he's not shooting, he's not really doing much. So, it's a good deal for, I think, Ottawa, first and foremost. You get a second round pick for some reason, fleecing Kevin Adams, who's just an awful GM.
He'll be fired.
You get
He'll be
Dylan
fired
Cousins,
soon.
who's fit in really well. Yeah, God, jeez. I mean, I don't know what you do if you're Buffalo. If you're a Buffalo fan, I just don't know what you do. And Josh Norris, he's a good player. Sad that he's sent to purgatory. I think he's in year 3 of 8. So if he can stay healthy, he's a good player. He just hasn't proven he can stay healthy. So I feel bad for him because he was one of the first major pieces of this new core to debut a couple years ago. He had his 35 goal year. Fun piece of trivia. That was the first 30 goal season for an Ottawa Senator since Milan Mihalik in 2012, or maybe 13. So yeah, because 2020, no, it was 2012 because 2013 was lockout year. And no one was scoring 30 goals that year. But yeah, so I think it's a good trade for Ottawa. It's paid dividends. They've won every single game. Norris got his first goal for Buffalo tonight. So good for him. I like this deal for Ottawa. I like it a lot. I think they're going to be a real threat down the stretch.
Yeah, I was a little skeptical on it both ways to start. I don't know, just struggling. So Norris had been in trade rumors for a while, even if he maybe wasn't struggling, but like it's weird that he's in trade rumors and kind of thing, right? And then you got Cousins, always been in trade rumors for this past year, hasn't been good. It was definitely a buy low swap kind of thing. And so far, it looks really good for the Sens. And honestly, apparently, people just need to get the fuck out of Buffalo because whenever they leave, they start doing really well. Sam Reinhart. It comes to mind. Who am I missing? Jack Eichel comes to mind.
Yeah,
Ryan
Mittelstadt to a
O'Reilly,
certain extent. Yeah,
Middlestat, sure-ish, yeah.
Robin Leonard for briefly.
Just, yeah,
Yeah,
people need to get
there's a
out.
lot of good players there.
The big one of the deadline, Mikko Rantanen traded again from the Dallas to for no, sorry, to the Dallas Stars. Signs an 8-year, $12 million AAV contract in exchange for Logan Stankoven, conditional first round pick in 2026, conditional first round pick in 2028. I believe they just slide a year if they trade something, or I don't know how it works necessarily. A third in 2026 and a third in 2027.
Yeah. It's so weird, the saga of Miko Rantanen. When he was traded to Carolina, I praised it. I thought he'd fit in real well with Aho. And he did at the later parts of his tenure. He started really slow. I wonder if he doesn't start so slow if he's still a Hurricane. He just wasn't interested in signing. I think the trade from Colorado caught him by surprise, and he just didn't want to sign in Carolina for some reason, because it's a no-tax state, a perennially good team. But Tom Dundon is a different owner. It's a minimal tax state, if anything. Yeah, like it's not Canada or California or New York. Like it's on the low end, if it's anything. But I mean, they run their operation different in Carolina. They have a very fixed rate for everybody. This is what you're worth, and this is what we'll pay you, but you're not getting a cent more. And Rantanen just wasn't interested. I think Logan Stankoven's a really good player, but Dallas came out gangbusters in this trade. They didn't have to trade Wyatt Johnson. They didn't have to trade Maverick Bourque. Thomas Harley, Esa Lindell, who's that enormous defenseman they have? Lion Bichel. Yeah. So, I mean, Stankoven's a really good player, and those picks may turn out to be something, but Dallas is now an absolute juggernaut, and I'd be terrified to face them. And they just signed Wyatt Johnson the same day to an incredibly cap-friendly deal.
Yeah, 5 years, the cap is going to go up. 5 years, 8.4.
Ridiculous. Jim Nill is back-to-back GM of the Year Award winner. I taste the front runner for a three-peat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are hating on Carolina a little bit. I mean, if you knew you weren't going to sign, he wasn't signing there, you had to get something. And you get Stankoven, 2 firsts and 2 thirds. That's a pretty, pretty good haul, I would say. Obviously, it would be, I don't think Dallas was ever going to trade Wyatt Johnson, but you could try. I don't know. I don't think it would have happened. I wonder what Dallas does, though, coming up here, because they have a lot of big contracts and not a lot of flexibility, let's say.
Well,
I think Sagan's a
buyout
candidate.
So Jamie Benn's contract is expiring. I think Sagan's a Stefan Robidoux candidate. He cannot stay healthy. I mean, I could see him being LTIR retired in a few years, honestly. And Jamie Benn's contract's coming up, and he's not going to make 9.5 again. He'll be in the 5-6 range at most.
He might even take like a
so they'll make they'll discount. Save a little bit of, yeah, hometown discount. So they're going to be just fine. Like they have the best GM in the league here, guys. They're going to be really good for a really long time. Mm-hmm. Also, one of the best home jerseys in the league. I think their jersey is a little underrated. Got into an argument about that the other day, but they're very good.
Couple Jets trades here. They've acquired Luke Shen for a 2026 second and a 2027 fourth to Pittsburgh, and then they also acquired Brandon Tanev for a 2027 second. Once again, another point of the deadline where I was screaming to Patrick Goveleen and Jim Rutherford, sell, please, I beg, but didn't happen.
God, how does Brandon Tanev get a second and then your GM tells you no one wants a first for Besser? I mean, Brandon Tanev is not very good anymore.
Which is bullshit, but we'll get into it.
I know. I mean, he's not very good. All he does is forecheck. And forecheck's a useful skill, but it's not a second-round pick skill. And Luke Shen's, I mean, he's credit to him, he's resurrected his career. He's played over 1,000 games. He was looking like a bust early on. And I'm of the opinion that once you hit 1,000 games, you're disqualified from bust conversation. But, you know, resurrected his career. He's going to be a good fit. That gets Logan Stanley out of the lineup, which is huge because he's horrible. But the coaches love him because he's enormous. So, good depth moves for Winnipeg. I can't imagine either of them are going to stick around. I don't want anyone to stay as a free agent. So in that aspect, I'll cut them a little bit of slack. But a bit of an overpayment on both these players, in my opinion.
Yep. Scott Laughton to the Leafs, along with a fourth this year and a sixth in 2027 for Nikita Grabenkin, a conditional 2027 first, and the Flyers are retaining 50% of Lawton's contract. I really like this for the Leafs, but
yeah, so do I.
There's a problem, and it's just the Atlantic got so juiced that I don't think it's going to matter.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, if they play Florida, they're cooked.
If they play Tampa, they
Cooked.
might be cooked.
If they play, I don't know, they have Tampa's number in the regular season. They always beat them. And they beat them that one playoff series. So I really like Scott Laughton. I've been following Scott Laughton for a long time. He was the captain of the Canadian World Junior team, I think 2013, I want to say. So he's been on the radar for a long time. He's a really good third line center. If you play him on the third line center or second line wing, he'll do a good job. He's good defensively, wins a lot of faceoffs, has a deceptively good shot. And at a 50% salary retention for this year, I don't think he has any more years left on his contract. If any, he has one left. It's a good trade. Leafs don't care about draft picks. Their window's now. Mitch Marner might leave. Mitch Marner just caused a big stink in the market because he wouldn't waive his no-move clause for Rantanen. So it's now or never for the Leafs a little bit because Tavares could walk too, although I think he will end up staying. So Grebenkin is one of those players. He's a bang and crash kind of guy. Probably his ceiling, his third liner. He's a bit of a fan favorite in Toronto because he did the arm wave after a preseason fight. So they liked him there. So he'll do well in Philly. He's a John Tortorella type. So he should do well there.
Charlie Coyle to Colorado, along with a fifth in 2026 for Mittelstadt, who was just discussed, William Zellers, and a 2025 second. Good depth, good third line
Surprised
center.
William has time to play hockey. Yeah, I'm surprised William has time to play hockey because he's the president of the Sellers chain or Zellers chain.
So
I'll see
funny. No,
myself there.
good third line center pickup, because the Mittelstadt's not going to fit a third line center role in Colorado, so Coyle can. And then Mittelstadt, maybe Buffalo, it's like a project buy low kind of thing, hope they can resurrect him a little bit. Zellers is actually a pretty good prospect from what I hear, and then getting a second on top, pretty good haul for Boston, I would say.
I mean, Coyle's a decent player, but the Bruins, they wave the white flag and credit to them. I always appreciate it when teams that are good for so long realize it's just not going to happen. And with the Bruins this year, it's just not going to happen. That Swayman holdout totally fucked their early season, and they never really got it back. Now, for what else they did, we'll get into that in a little bit.
A lot of nothing trades here. Here we go. Speaking of the Bruins, no, this is the next one we have to talk about. I guess we'll do the both back to back. Brad Marchand traded from Boston to Florida of all teams for a conditional second round pick in 2027. Bruins are retaining 50% of the contract. I believe the retent the condition is if Marsh Shan plays in
He plays
50%
50% of
of
the
the
playoff
first two
games.
rounds. Yeah. And then also they
Which
traded Brent.
I think you will.
Well, he's hurt right now, so there's a potential, maybe not. But Brandon Carlo then also gets traded to the Leafs for Fraser Minton, a top five first round pick protected in 2026, and a fourth in 2025. They're retaining 15% of Carlo's contract.
Yeah, so let's start with Marchand. Excuse me. This is nuts. I never thought they would trade Marchand. Never, 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 never thought he would. When you think Boston Bruins, you think Brad Marchand. And he's still really good. And yes, he's older. And yes, he's a free agent after this season. But man, I mean, I never thought he'd go. He's synonymous with that franchise. And then not only, because I think the rumor was he wanted 7.3 million on his next contract. I think he makes 6.3 now. I don't think the Bruins wanted to go above 7. And he wanted 7.5, 8 million.
I heard he came
And to
down
draw a line
halfway,
with,
though.
yeah, he wanted to stick around. You see that press conference? He was sad. He was sad to leave. And I think there's a good chance he goes back in free agency. So don't cry all your tears, Boston fans. He'll probably be back. But man, I mean, it just, and then to separate with your captain, your best, one of your best players, a franchise icon, for at best case scenario, the 27th overall pick is insane to me. It's insane that you get such a limited return. The only way it makes sense for me is if they decided they were trading Marchand and Marchand's like, okay, I'm only going to Florida because I think he has a
That's
no move clause in that
what
contract.
I heard he
So
I heard he had like a partial, like an eight team or something. But he said to them, it's like if you're trading me, I
you.
prefer to go to Florida, and they respected his wishes.
Just keep him then. I mean, silly, silly, silly. I mean, God, Marchand, Matthew Tkachuk, and Sam Bennett. on one team. Oh my God.
What a line.
Panthers
What a
are
line that will
horrifying.
be.
Speaking of lines, Aaron Ekblad.
well, that's not that kind. No, that's steroids, dude. That's
I
not.
know, I know.
Carlo, though,
Drugs.
also
It's all
traded
drugs
to
at the
the
end of the
other.
day.
Carlo also traded to the opposite rival of Boston.
Yeah, this is a good trade for the Leafs. Morgan Rielly's a weird player where, analytically, he always does better when he's paired alongside a big meathead beside him. He never does well when he has a mobile partner. He does well when it's Ilya Lyubushkin or Luke Shen, and he usually plays well in the playoffs. He's not usually the problem come playoff time. He just plays better with a meathead beside him, a big physical beat 'em up type defenseman. And Brandon Carlo fits that mold. He's a pretty good skater, chips in offensively occasionally. He's a good player. He's a real good player, and it sucks that the Leafs keep getting good players at the deadline because fans were calling for Brad Treliving's head, and then he pulled off this at the last second, and fans love him again. So, will it be enough to beat Florida? I don't think so, if that's who they have to end up playing. Will it be enough to beat Tampa? It might be enough to set him over the edge. But in Toronto, like, what is a successful postseason in Toronto? What is it? Is it one round
Conference
and then
finals.
lose? Can't be.
God, gotta be conference finals
God,
by now.
you're in like you. Crazy. Because I think it's so weird with Mitch Marner. If, let's say they make the conference finals and he plays great, he probably prices himself out. And if they blow up in the first round again, the Leafs are they're going to be at Scotiabank Arena with pitchforks calling for his head, so he's probably not coming back anyway. I think he's
Yeah,
gone.
they got a. He has
Marner.
to play like perfectly average in the playoffs, and they have to go on somewhat of a deep run for him
Yeah.
to stay. Unless he really wants to stay and will take a
It's
hometown
weird.
discount.
Because which he won't. Because Mitch Marner in his last contract bent Kyle Dubas completely over the barrel. He took a 6-year deal at I think it was 10.9 million, and which he came off of one elite season. And he's a kind of guy. His agent Darren Ferris always takes his agents to July 1st, and he always squeezes the teams for as much money as possible. And I think that's what he's going to continue to do. So we'll see. Leaf fans are kind of done with Marner too, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure. I guess the last relevant one was Zetterlund to Ottawa, along with Tristan Robbins and a fourth. Doesn't say what year, so that's kind of weird. For Noah Gregor, Zach Ospachuk, and a second round pick in 2025.
It's another good trade by Steve Staios. Although
This.
Zetterlund hasn't done much in his two games, they put him on the fourth line for some reason. He's a real good 5-on-5 scorer. And that's what Ottawa needs. They don't have enough scoring 5-on-5. So bringing in a few more goals to the table, depth role in the playoffs, that's important. Noah Gregor, fourth liner, who cares? Zach Ostapchuk was a high second round pick by Pierre Dorion in that famously brutal 2021 draft that he had. That's a Tyler Boucher draft for those who are wondering. It was Boucher 10th overall, and then I think Ostapchuk was 36th. So two bad picks. I think Ostapchuk has played 40 games. He's got like 3 points. So he's a bust. So no problem getting rid of him. And then fourth round pick, who gives a shit? If San Jose can hit on that fourth round pick, good for you. So Zetterlund, he's an RFA, so it's not like he's a rental. He could come back at a decent rate. So really good trade deadline by the Ottawa Senators. I like what they're doing. And they've been really good since the trade deadline, so they've vindicated their response.
That wraps up all the trades that happened. Now the ones that didn't, how the fuck do the Canucks not do anything with Brock Besser and Pia Suter when the like and here's why nothing happened. Francesco, you want playoff money and we don't want the playoff money. We're not good enough to go to the playoffs this year. We will get absolutely embarrassed in the playoffs this year if we go. But no, he wants his two games or three games maybe of playoff revenue that he'll get. And thinks keeping Besser and Suter around is the answer, and when it's not, when and just Alvin saying they're you wouldn't believe the offers I
Lie.
got on
He
Brock
lied.
Besser. Bullshit. Bullshit. We all know you got a first round
Lie.
pick from Carolina.
Now, it was a first round pick with Kotkaniemi. Would I have made that trade? I don't know.
That's well,
But
yeah.
do better. Like, market your player better. Find another team. There would have been lots of suitors. No pun intended, Pius Suter. But I mean, like, we all know what this is. Aquilini doesn't know how to run a team. He doesn't know how to run a team. They've been a shit show for the better part of the last past 12 years. Multiple coaches, multiple GMs. I mean, they can't stand up to him. I thought the whole point of Jim Rutherford was that he would stand up to Francesco Accolini when he meddles. And clearly he meddled again. He wanted Besser to stay around because he wants to make the playoffs. Because I think each playoff game is like $4 or $5 million of revenue. So that's potentially $10 million extra dollars in his pocket. So, because he'll jack up the prices for the playoffs, he's jacked up the prices for next season after this god-awful, horrendous year the Canucks have had. It's just disappointing all around. Brock Besser should have been traded. And then Alvin in his terrible press conference shat all over the player, being like, "Oh, there was no market for this player. There's no market for this player." Way to make Brock Besser feel good. Way to reassure the fans that you have a direction. I mean, just stupid. It's
Brock
just stupid.
Besser, enjoy. We're gonna miss you in Vancouver. It was nice having you here. You can walk in free agency. You have every right to be gone, please. Like,
Now,
I'm not saying be gone. Like, I want him gone, but like, holy shit.
be
But
gone,
like,
Vesser. Now, has he had a very good season? No, but neither has the entire team. I mean, he scored 40 goals last year. There's been a regression, right? So that's important to mention. He wasn't going to garner a king's ransom like Rantanen did twice, but I mean, it's just malpractice. They want that playoff revenue. And then you could still sell, not sell me, but that would still make sense. But why wouldn't you trade Pius Suter? His value is never going to be higher.
nope, that's
He's
the
got
one I miss
17
now the
goals. He
most.
plays center in the wing. I mean, like it's a seller's market. Fucking Anthony Beauvillier got a second round pick, like we mentioned. Pius Suter is bare minimum twice the player Anthony Beauvillier is. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? This team is totally directionless. And unless they fix something, Quinn Hughes is going to be gone in a few years because there's no sustainable path to contention, barring a major surprise. And to be honest, I don't think Elias Pettersson can get back to what he was in this market. I think the ship has sailed.
I think
Maybe he'll have a bounce back season. I can't.
he's
I
already looked
I can't
looked
expect him.
better.
I have zero expectations. Cool. Well, what's the bar, Nathan? He shot a puck from distance on the power play.
That's not even it though. Like he
That's how
looks
low the bar is.
he just his overall game has looked better. He looks like
You
he's back,
can't.
moving his feet more. He looks like he's shooting more.
Oh, Jesus.
Like I know the results aren't there yet, but I
That
think
would
they're
be
coming.
something I'd be happy for you to say. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. You make $11.6 million. I do not want to hear about you moving your feet. Come on, man. The bar has to be higher for Elias Pettersson. It's got to be higher. Like, what are we doing?
Oh, we got a scrum
Whatever.
in
I
this game
mean,
as well.
this season's a wash. I mean, yeah, I saw it's not it's boring ass game. The Canucks have three shots. Total Rick Tocchet hockey,
That's a
who I
classic
think
Canucks
is
game. What do you
gone next
mean?
year too. Not. Yeah, I know. That's what I said.
Yeah.
The typical Canuck game, Rick Tocchet hockey, who I think he's going to leave of his own volition next year. He looks so pissed off every press conference. And honestly, I wouldn't be saddened if Tocchet left. He's really pissed me off this season. But, n directionless. I look forward to losing in five to Winnipeg, which is going to happen. And that's all I have to say
I
on the
think I know.
Canucks. They're not worth any more time, any more space.
Okay, NFL time.
So, yeah.
I'll try and just rip through the big ones. There's a lot. You can chip in when you so please. Sam Darnold. Or wait, no, we'll start earlier. I forgot. We traded DK Metcalf. That's what happened first. DK Metcalf to where is this? To the Pittsburgh Steelers for a second round pick. I believe we're also swapping the Seahawks are giving up a sixth and we're getting a seventh back, just a pick swap. DK signing a 5-year, $150 million contract. Yeah, bye DK. Love you, but I don't feel comfortable giving you that contract. So good riddance. So we'll take your sec to the second round pick and move on, kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, DK Metcalf, kind of sad story how it ended a little bit. One of the most freakish athletes to ever play in Seattle and kind of just leaves after just, not accomplishing anything.
No.
He's probably better than any receiver they had on their Super Bowl teams.
Josh Allen, 6-year, $330 million contract extension. I believe he's signed for like the next 10 years now. Kind of like the Mahomes deal, which I actually think might be the way to go when you have a quarterback that good. Because look how good it's turned out for the Chiefs so far. They just keep restructuring Mahomes, and he just keeps accepting it, right? And just, yeah. Devontae Adams to the Rams for on a 2-year, $46 million deal. This is like, he's slightly cheaper than Cooper Kupp, I guess, but it's just weird that you want to get rid of Cooper Kupp and bring in Adams kind of thing. But
Yeah, it's definitely odd.
Miles Garrett becomes the highest paid non-quarterback in football, signing a 4-year, $160 million deal.
Cleveland just can't get out of their own way. I know Myles Garrett's really good, but I mean, it's already shown they can't win with him. So
Yeah,
I guess they want to pay all that money to for mediocrity.
the smart thing would have been to let him to trade him, but there was
You
a couple
can't say
of
smart and Cleveland Browns in the same sentence.
there's a couple other well, there's other notable signings, but the one I just really on this day, but the one I want to touch on, Ernest Jones, I love it. When they traded for him in the offseason, that's when the Seahawks defense really started to turn around. So I love the signing, bring him back. Off to the next day. Holy shit, there's just so many signings. It's going to be impossible.
Just do the big ones.
Sam Darnold, 3-year, 100.5 million, I believe it got reported 110 originally. It's 105, 100.5. 55 million in guaranteed money. I'm lukewarm on this.
Are the New York Jets the Buffalo Sabres of the NFL?
Yes.
I mean, hey, good for him. He had a great year in Minnesota. Does Seattle have the offensive line to support him? TBD.
Not at the moment.
Yeah, so I think he's a good player. Is he this good? I don't know.
I think he could be around the level he was in Minnesota last year. If you put
He's an
a
upgrade over Geno.
I don't know about that, to be honest. I think they're about average. I think Geno's actually probably a little bit better, but I don't think Geno is.
Cannot go.
I'm delayed.
So it's on the power play.
On the power play.
Yeah, they got a power play out of that scrum. Looks like it was Suter.
No, it wasn't a power play. It was five on
Yeah, it was.
five. Five on
Well,
five.
then the power play just ended.
Okay.
But they got a power play out of that scrum.
I guess
One,
we didn't
two,
touch on
three,
Geno
four.
either, did we?
Okay, it didn't. No, not really.
So yeah, Geno to the Raiders for a third. I guess what happened, what it sounded like was Geno, they offered him a 2-year, $40 to $45 million per year deal. Geno declined it and didn't even counter offer it. Essentially requesting a trade that way. So Seahawks got to the phones. Pete Carroll in Vegas come call in because Pete Carroll loves him, and they have a glaring need at quarterback. Make the deal. Makes it's about fair value for Geno, I'd say. Raiders get their quarterback. Raiders are going to be sneaky good this next year, I think. I think there may be more like an 8 or 9 win team, but like they're not that far off.
No, and now they have a proper coach who will instill a proper culture. I mean, we'll see. Bit of a sleeper team.
Just tough division is my only worry there. But then yeah, place him with Darnold. If I think if you're if let's say Geno gets $45 million per year, that make and then Darnold, I believe, is 33 and a half. I am more comfortable giving you running with Darnold at 33 and a half plus a third round pick than giving Geno 45, even if I think Geno's better. That's
Yeah, I
just
think that's about right.
that's my take.
I think Geno had gotten a little stale in Seattle.
Maybe,
I
yeah.
think they needed to try something new.
It's an offensive culture reset. No Geno, no Lockett, no DK. They're running with JSN, their running backs, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who they signed today. But
Oh boy.
yeah, so Darnold, I think, can be successful, but God, please, John Schneider, invest in the O-line. There's been so many interior offensive linemen that have flown off the board these first 3 days of free agency, and we signed like one of them, and he's been like a $4 million player. He's like a backup at best. Like, come on, man. We desperately need this. You can't run into next year with three rookies on the offensive line or whatever.
No, that
They
would be a
should be
mistake.
signing. I would probably sign one and draft one. And then I think their center could play next year. But get better. Come on. Justin Fields to the New York Jets, 2 years, 40 million. I believe 30 of it's guaranteed.
Rest in peace, Justin Fields' career. I mean, he's going to get killed there. They have no weapons outside of Garrett Wilson, and who knows how long he's going to stick around for. So, Jets are a mess. They're a joke. The Buffalo Sabres of the NFL. What a failure Aaron Rodgers was. They finally released him today. Taking on, I think it's 40 million in dead money, which is crazy to think about. So, I mean, they're a joke. That playoff drought ain't ending anytime soon. I bet they're wishing for the days of Mark Sanchez.
All right, I'm gonna try and these are big ones. You can hop in if you got any thoughts on them, kind of, but like I'm just gonna kind of more rapid fire quick thought on it. Laremy Tunsil to the Commanders, along with a fourth round pick for a third, a seventh, a 2026 second, and a 2026 sixth. I don't know what the Texans are doing trading their best offensive lineman when offensive line is their weakness. Little puzzling there. Good deal for the Commanders, though. One of the best left tackles in the game still. And you got to protect Daniels, is what it is. Good haul, I guess, for the Texans, though, if they're not. But I don't know why they didn't keep him. Chris Godwin, 3 years, $66 million in Tampa Bay, stays. I believe he was offered like $20 million more to go to New England, but he said, "Fuck it, I'm staying in Tampa Bay." Fair enough. I mean, no state tax, get to live in Tampa, play football. Don't blame him. Milton Williams got signed 4 year, 104, massive deal. Don't actually know too much about Milton Williams, but he was good in the Super Bowl, I remember, and he's an Eagles player, so that makes sense. Byron Murphy, 3 years, $66 million, stays with the Vikings. I like that deal for the Vikings. He was like a very good corner for them last year. They still have holes in their secondary. They need to bring him back. Josh Sweat, 4 years, $76.4 million deal to the Cardinals. Josh Sweat's good. Cardinals defensive help makes sense. There's a connection there. I believe it's, yeah, Gannon's the Cardinals head coach, and he came from Philly before. Khalil Mack and Najee Har Khalil Mack resigned, and then they also grabbed Najee Harris. That's what it is. I'm gonna miss skip. DJ Reed, I actually like to the Lions too, from the Jets. Pick up a corner. They need that safety help. I found it weird that the Browns wanted Kenny Pickett from the Eagles. That was funny to me.
Oh God, Kenny, small hands pick it.
Yep. Any other relevant ones on this day? Broncos had a decent day. Their defense is all right. They didn't really lose anybody, and they picked up Hufanga and Greenlaw from San Fran. They're going to be really good again next year, I must say.
Greenlaw was the guy who blew out his Achilles, right? Running onto the field. Yeah, that's right.
What else is there on this day?
On this day, I see clearly
Yeah, I
WWE
was just
fans
thinking
will get
that,
that.
actually. There is.
Too bad he's washed in an AEW now.
These are all kind of
Makes
minor
me
deals,
sad.
so skip to the next day.
Yeah, I mean, NFL free agency is so weird taking place before the draft. But I know NFL draft is a little different from other drafts
Yeah.
where literally every player is expected to contribute in some way.
D-Hop finally goes to the Ravens after like years of rumors
Washed.
about. Yeah, he's washed. 1 year, $5 million. Still washed. Joey Bosa to the Bills, 1 year, 12.6. I actually like it for the Bills. Bills clearly need
So do
pass
I.
rushing help.
Well, they released Von Miller, so.
Yeah, he sucked. He's washed.
Woohoo!
Daniel Jones, potential new
What
starting quarterback in Indianapolis. 1 year,
an
14 million.
indictment. What an indictment on Anthony Richardson that would be.
Yeah.
That would be it for him, you gotta think.
Yeah. I'm gonna the Vikings, I thought, have had a really good free agency. They didn't pay Darnold. Makes sense. If you're gonna do that, though, you got to build around McCarthy and fill out the roster around him. They have done that. They've added to the defense and both the offensive line. They grabbed two Colts starter interior offensive linemen. So they're just gonna that's perfect. Probably draft one more and then you're set. And yeah, the one they signed, Will Fries, elite name, by the way. I wanted him to be a Seahawk
I
so
know.
bad.
Fries.
Any other relevant ones on this day? I see clearly. No,
I think that's
no.
basically all the big ones.
I'm trying
Just, I don't
to.
think any others really pop into my mind.
Well, today, Cooper Kupp was released. Evan Engram went to the Broncos. Darius Slay officially signed with the Steelers, although that got reported. DeMarcus Lawrence to the Seahawks. I actually kind of like Seahawks defense is gonna be so good. But for the love of God, invest in the O-line, Jeff Schneider. Like
This
we
like
already know
Oilers
our defense is
goaltending?
gonna be good.
Is this like Oilers goaltending?
Yeah, you could say that probably. It's always been he's
Oh
never
boy.
like he'll draft offensive linemen, but he's never
George Fant, George Fant.
they've never been able to develop them. That's the problem. So why don't you just go sign them that
Well,
are better?
I remember the one time he did with Jermaine Ifetti, it turned out to be just atrocious at
Yeah, it
football.
was bad.
And I think he's like, I'm never doing that again. John Schneiders.
Like Kevin Zeitler signed, I heard he didn't want to go to the West
Flames
Coast.
goal. Really sick one too. Deke Langdon out of his jock strap.
I hate watches. Oh, here it is. Nice. Oh,
Tisk
that's
tisk.
double PD on defense. Doing fucking up.
Oh boy.
Both of them.
Oh Rick, Richard Tocchet. Bane of my existence. But yeah, just don't be named John Schneider if you want to be liked in sports.
I'm trying to think who else is named John Schneider.
The Toronto Blue Jays.
John Schneider.
Are you the manager, you fool?
Oh, fuck, right.
Jeez.
I was just
God,
like that. Why is this
Nathan,
name
this
so
guy.
sound so familiar? And I can't think of who it is.
What a doof.
Do you wanna quickly fill in where you think the remaining QB free agents go, or like who gets drafted where? Kinda plug that in quick.
Sure, who are left?
So,
Rodgers?
Russ, Rodgers are the free agents. I believe those are the only two really left. And then you have Shador and Cam Ward to fit in there as well.
Okay. Where would Aaron Rodgers go? 'Cause
I
he's
think he's
not
going
good
to the
anymore,
Steelers.
he thinks he is. I could see Pittsburgh, although I don't know how he'd work with Mike Tomlin. Oh, I could maybe see the Dolphins for some
With
Tua
Tua?
insurance, for some Tua
You
insurance.
think he's gonna go be a backup?
Maybe. Nathan, he's 1,000 years old.
He would
He
just
hasn't won a Super
retire.
Bowl in 16 years. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do. Maybe Arizona. Actually, no, that's Kyler. Never mind. I'm thinking of what's the other red team in that area?
San Fran?
Atlanta.
But
Atlanta.
they're on the complete opposite side of the country, Joseph. What did you just say?
Whatever, Nathan. Well, they're both Falcons and Cardinals. Birds. Red birds. So, I
Oh, they
mean,
got Penix, so they're invested
this
in
guy
Penix.
straight up just said McCaw like he's Patrick McCaw. Okay. But yeah, Russell Wilson, I do think Seattle, or not Seattle. That would be funny if it was Seattle. But Pittsburgh is, I think. No. What am I saying? He was just in Pittsburgh. Where's Russell Wilson going to go, Nathan?
I've heard he's
Where would he
meeting
go?
with the Browns tomorrow and then the Giants on Friday.
Oh. He's got to have better options, you would think. I mean, the Giants have a few pieces, they have neighbors. I wouldn't go. If I was a quarterback and the Browns wanted to sign me, I'd say I'd rather be in Guantanamo Bay.
I'll
I'd
say
never go to the Browns.
Rodgers is going to Pittsburgh. I'll say Russ goes to the Browns. I think the Giants trade up for Shador, or not for Shador, for Cam Ward. And
And
Shador
then do they fire Dable?
Sanders. Let's say Shador Sanders goes to.
Back to school for another year?
No, he can't. I
Nah.
think it's age out. God, where? I guess he's gonna get drafted and like sit behind somebody at that point. I don't think the Titans would take
Teams should
him.
do that more often. Teams should do that a little more often, I think.
We'll
The
say,
draft picks.
I'll say the Jets. I'll say the Jets.
Okay.
I could still see that link up kind of thing. Oh, more scrappy stuff.
I know, it's been a weird one.
We gotta wrap through this. I want to see the rest of this game, apparently. All right. MLB.
Yes, and at least.
NL East. I came prepared this time, this before this
Long.
episode. I actually made it. But
There you go, Nathan. Look at this guy.
bottom to the top.
Winning.
I got the Marlins in last place pretty unanimously, I would
Bottom to the
say.
top. This guy thinks he's Ashley Tisdale. Did you
Do we
understand that reference?
I think so.
That's a High School Musical reference for those who are unaware. But yeah, you have the Marlins in last. I mean,
Yeah,
that's shit.
60 and 102. Not gonna be good.
If I was a Marlins fan, I'd probably kill myself.
One of like the five of them.
I mean, like, good Lord, how could you cheer for a team like that? Like, every year, spend nothing, trade everybody at the deadline, lose 100 games, spend nothing. All your prospects turn out to be busts. Fire your manager. Fire your GM. It's fire sale year after year. Remember Derek Jeter was the owner for like 12 seconds and everyone hated him, so they got rid of him. I mean, they literally have nothing except for noted Canadian Otto Lopez.
Their
Like,
lineup is
no one else is even
atrocious.
worth. Like, there's literally nobody else even worth mentioning. Like, I'll pull it up here. Like, they have some pitchers. Sandy Alcantara, Ryan Weathers. I like those two pitchers. Noted Canadian Cal Quantrill. I mean, there's a few things there. Their bullpen's atrocious. Like, I literally recognize Jesus Tinoco and nobody else. I mean, good Lord. Catcher, someone named Nick Fortes. Who? First base, Matt Mervis. I only barely know who that is. Second base, my goat, Otto Lopez. Third base, Connor Norby. Who?
I'm pretty sure he's a
Shortstop,
prospect.
Zay.
Pretty sure he
Yeah,
actually might be
okay.
okay.
Shortstop Xavier Edwards, I know who that is because he was a beast in MLB The Show. Left field, Kyle Stowers, mid. Jesus Sanchez is pretty good. Center fielder, Derek Hill, who? And then Jesus Sanchez and Jonah Bride, who? As a DH. I mean, there's literally nothing on this team.
Yeah, they suck.
Like,
They really do.
where do you get hope if you're a Marlin fan? I guess your hope is you walk outside and it's beautiful outside. And there's other things to do besides watch baseball. Go watch the Panthers. That's what you should do.
My,
I
well,
guess it's
yeah.
technically sunrise, which isn't too far away.
I'm assuming you have them last also.
Yes.
Yeah, you got the Nationals in fourth too.
I do. This is a very easy division.
Yeah,
Well, sort of. The bottom two
you got the
are easy to
bottom two are
predict.
very easy. The top three could go anyway. I got them 75 and 87.
I
Coming
like what they're
along.
building.
They're coming along. One more year.
You know, I can give some respect to teams who don't completely bottom out. And they haven't completely bottomed out. Like they're still pretty fun to watch. I like Mackenzie Gore. And I
Yes.
like Michael Soroka too. So, and God, Kyle Finnegan. He still gives me PTSD from a few years ago, 2021. The Blue Jays need the Nationals just to beat the Red Sox. Kyle Finnegan's in for the save, and then Rafael Devers takes him 500
Oh,
feet center field.
no, yeah.
Oh God, 2021. What a year. Hey, Derek Law, Blue Jay legend, is on that team. I totally forgot Derek Law existed. Totally forgot. He's almost 36. Good Lord. But yeah, Keibert Ruiz is a good catcher. I like Nathaniel Lowe. Josh Bell is still kicking around. Luis Garcia is a good second baseman. They have Amed Rosario, Blue Jay legend, Paul DeJong. Good Lord, he was horrible for the
He's been
Jays.
good
CJ
though,
Abrams is an
still.
up and comer.
C.J.
Well, I mean,
Abrams,
good Lord. He,
well, he was good, and then
He's a, he's a,
he went to the casino and then got suspended the rest of the year by the team last year.
right.
So,
I mean, God, he's literally 2 months older than me. Good Lord. But I could expect to bounce back from him. And you know, their outfield is kind of mediocre. James Wood, Jacob Young, and Dylan Cruz. Nothing much to write home about there. They have Jacob Young, who I'm like 95% sure is Canadian.
isn't Dylan Cruz like
Just
one of the
gonna
top
click on him
prospects?
real quick.
Am I tripping?
I think so. No,
He might
you're
be.
right. He is. He is.
Yeah,
He's supposed to be pretty good because he's an
he's
0-2.
supposed
He
to be
better be.
really good, I've heard.
And Josh Bell will do his usual 25 home runs, lousy defense, a little bit of RBIs. So, yeah, they need another year or two.
Yep, I agree. This is where it gets interesting. Who do you have in third, Joseph?
It's kind of a tough one. But for me, it's going to be the Atlanta Braves.
I got the
I
Mets
think.
at 88 and 74 here.
Okay. Do you want me to go first? Or do you want you to
Yeah,
go first?
you go.
Okay. Acuna's going to miss some time. And he regressed a little bit last year when he was healthy. I think he only hit like four home runs in his first half of the season. Ozzie Albies has had a few crappy years in a row. Matt Olson lost, I think, 25 home runs off of his total year to year. Sean Murphy, it was incredibly, incredibly mid. So, and there's no Travis d'Arnaud to spell him anymore. They have Drake Baldwin as their backup catcher. Are we sure that's not a real estate agent? Marcell Ozuna does his thing. When he's in the lineup, he's usually pretty good. I mean, when he's not committing domestic violence. So, he's a very good player. Jared Kelnick, it seems, has found himself a home in Atlanta. So, I mean, that's another mistake by the Mariners to let him go. I mean, he's nothing special, but they could definitely use him considering the Mariners can't hit at all. So, Jerickson Profar they signed. I like Profar. I like Orlando Arcia. I just think this is a team, given the strength of the division, this is probably this at least the second best division in baseball, if not the best. So, I expect them to be good, but I think the Mets and the Phillies are going to be better. So, I could be wrong. I'm wrong pretty often when it comes to baseball. Baseball is probably the least predictable sport to exist, I think. It's outside of the bottom of the bottom. It's pretty unpredictable. So we'll see. Alex Anthopoulos always works his magic, though, so I wouldn't be surprised if they're the third wild card team, or if they could even finish first. Three teams in this division could finish first,
I was just sorry. I
but I
was
have
just
them
getting
in third.
distracted by the they were showing the replay of Elias Pettersson getting jumped by Connor Zary. Kind of a dirty play. Kind of like gets up high and hits
Really?
him, but we'll see. I have the Mets in third. I'm kind of. Would it not be the most Mets thing ever to sign Soto and then go like 81 and 81?
It would. It would be up there. Because he did that after Lindor, to
Yes.
my recollection, and Verlander and Scherzer. So sometimes throwing money at stuff doesn't work.
I'm expecting Soto to still be Soto. I don't know if you saw, there's a video in spring training. This guy was like chirping Soto, being like, overrated, overpaid, overrated, overpaid. And and I think Soto's in right in this. Yeah, he must have been. And he just turns around eventually when the pitch isn't going and just stares at the guy, stares him down. Next, like half inning, he goes up to AB, hits a bomb right at the guy.
That's hilarious.
And
I'll
I'm just.
never forget Bryce Harper did something similar. I can't remember if he was still a National at the time, but someone else overrated. And he was actually at the box, in the batter's box. Someone's like, overrated. Next pitch, he hits a fucking nuke.
Didn't he say
And
like watch this or
it was
something
so
too
cool.
or?
Yeah. Well, afterwards, like, is that fucking overrated? Like, I love Bryce Harper. He's a
Yeah.
total weirdo, but I like him.
So yeah, but anyways, Mets. I'm gonna put third. I'm expecting a Braves bounce back a little bit with Acuna back. I have them 88 and 74, and then I have the Braves 90 and 72.
Ooh, pretty good, pretty good. I have the
I'm
Mets in second.
okay. So we both have the Phillies one. I have them going 94 and 68. It's gonna be a close division for the most like throughout, I would say.
It could go anyway. The bottom two teams are set, but the top three are pretty interchangeable, in my
I
opinion.
agree. I think all
But
should
the
get in the
Mets,
playoffs.
yeah, the Mets could be volatile because their bullpen, I mean, Edwin Diaz, once every few years, he just stinks. So you never really know. And besides him, it's kind of weak. Like Ryan Stanek, AJ Minter's pretty good, but Reed Garrett, Jose Buttó, I've never heard of him. Unfortunate last name. But pitching's really good. Kodai Senga is great. I think Clay Holmes is a really good addition to that team. Sean Manaea, I really like. Franty Montas. God, their rotation's unbelievable. David Peterson, Griffin Canning, Paul Blackburn at the end of that rotation. That's really good. Francisco Alvarez is one of, if not the best, young catchers in the game. Luis Torrens is one of the better backup catchers. Pete Alonso, they paid, so we'll see without distraction if he has a bit of a bounce back season. Mark Vientos is one of my favorite players to watch in the entire sport. He's a favorite of mine. I think he's really good. Jeff McNeil's kind of just a slap hitter. The shine has worn off him a little bit. Brett Beatty's there. He used to be a pretty highly regarded prospect. And then Francisco Lindor, I said Mark Vientos is one of my favorite players to watch in the league. I think Francisco Lindor might be number one. I love watching Francisco Lindor play baseball. It's a treat. I hope he gets a ring at one point because he deserves it. And then Nimmo in left. I like Nimmo. Tyrone Taylor in center is kind of mid, but who really cares when you have Juan Soto in right field?
Yep.
So, like, that's a nuclear option right there.
Agreed.
That's all I gotta say.
So my NL teams based off records. My one seed would be the Dodgers. My two seed would be the Phillies. My three seed would be the Cubs. Those are the division winners. The first wild card would go to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The second would go to the Atlanta Braves. And the third would go to the New York Mets.
Okay.
I feel like there's not really any
That makes
surprises
sense.
in there. I feel like those are kind of all the favorites, but.
No, not really. Yeah, so we both have the Phillies in first. Okay, I like the Phillies. I mean, but the clock is starting to tick on them a little bit. They're getting old. Wheeler's getting old. Nola's getting oldish. Harper's getting up there, which is crazy to think because it feels like just yesterday he debuted at like 19 years old. They brought in Jordan Romano. I don't think he's going to be the closer, which is probably a smart thing. Thing with Romano that always pissed me off was he only has two pitches, and that, I don't think that really works for a closer, because good lord, he hung a lot of sliders, and he would get pounded when one batter would make contact. So I'm not too broken up that he's gone, but Realmuto's there. He's getting old. Bryson Stott's young. He's still pretty good. Alec Bohm is probably facing a make or break season, and Trey Turner's great. Edmundo Sosa's a good backup. They brought in Max Kepler. That's an interesting move. Brandon Marsh is pretty underrated, and Nick Castellanos hits a drive into deep left field, and that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. You know, he's pretty good too. And Kyle Schwarber just hits nukes and bats 205 every year, so he'll probably do that again.
Oh, I didn't even realize Tyler Myers isn't playing tonight.
Yeah, I knew that because he blocked that shot yesterday.
He was in Marcus Pedersen playing together. Interesting. Kind
Huh.
of.
They love Marcus Pedersen. But
Actually,
he already has an
they love
animal
Hronek
sweater.
with the DPD, so.
Yeah. I think that's the way forward as you split up Hughes and Hronek.
Quickly. LeBron and Stephen A. beef.
Stupidest beef of all time.
This was hilarious. So, for those who don't know, it started off with the Stephen A. LeBron, I'm begging you as a father, please stop this rant about Bronny and his embarrassment, I guess, of playing him in NBA games. And LeBron didn't take too kindly to it. So during the first
LeBron
quarter
never
of
takes
a
kindly.
game recently, Stephen A. was sitting courtside with, I believe, like his agent or something, and somebody, a couple others, I'm not sure. And he, LeBron goes up to him, out leaves the team huddle, because LeBron, he can do whatever he wants. And goes sit, walks over to Stephen A., who's like a couple steps beside him, gets up in his face, and he's like, basically the equivalent of the Rock, not the Rock, Will Smith slapping Chris Rock in the face and being like, keep my wife's name out your mouth, but with Bronny. Just
I still can't
hilarious.
believe that Will Smith thing happened. Feels like a lifetime ago.
It's crazy because you still think it's fake, but it's really not fake.
No, and then you realize that him and Jada have been separated since 2016, and then it gets even crazier.
Have they actually?
Yeah. They've been separated. I mean, they live together, but they've been separated since 2016.
They live together, but they're separated.
They're not romantically involved.
That's crazy.
Well, because all their kids are messed up. So I think that's part of the reason why they stick around. But back to Stephen A and LeBron. Okay. Both sides are wrong. You want to know why?
Cut.
Stephen A should not be talking about LeBron's fatherhood on the air. I don't think. I think that's a bit of a low blow. You should not be appealing to someone as a father. I think that's kind of cringe. I think it's a little stupid. And I think he's kind of asking for a bit of a blowback there. But that's Stephen A's job to be controversial. He is king of the ratings at ESPN. He's like the only one there that does well in the ratings nowadays. So I get it on that side. And LeBron, I mean, he's your son. You got to stand up for your son when he's being picked on. Because remember, Bronny was the 55th overall pick. And I think if his name was Jim Bob Cookie Monster, he wouldn't have been drafted whatsoever. So, I mean, you can say that there's been some unfair coverage of him a little bit, given where he was drafted. But the question I ask you, Nathan Mailey, why was Bronny James drafted?
Because he is the offspring of LeBron James.
Yes. There is no basketball reason for him to be in the NBA right now whatsoever. And if you're going to be paid to talk about sports, you have to be honest. I realize Bronny's been better in the G League lately, and he's had a couple moments in the NBA in garbage time. But there's facts to what Stephen A is saying. If Bronny James's name was anything else, he wouldn't even be sniffing the NBA because he wasn't very good in college. I realize he had his heart thing a few years ago, so I'll cut him some slack for that. But he's just not good enough to be there. And Stephen A was right. Should he have invoked LeBron's fatherhood? No. But Bronny sucks. And I don't think he'll ever be anything more than a ninth man in a rotation. And he got a 4-year guaranteed contract. I mean, he is the NBA's make-a-wish kid. It's ridiculous that and people are still talking about him. Just let him go to the G League and do his thing. Like, we shouldn't be talking about Bronny James at all. The only time we should be talking about him is when him and LeBron are on the court, because that's noteworthy and it's memorable. And it's happened, I think, once, maybe twice, all season long. So Bronny only plays in garbage time minutes. I don't want to hear about garbage time minutes. I don't want to hear about that when it happens to the Raptors. What makes you think I care about Jamal Shedd? I care about Bronny James and Jamal Shedd and Orlando Robinson, all those other bums the Raptors are playing the same amount. I don't care. I don't care about 12th, 13th man in the rotation. So let's give Bronny James the rest of the season. Just leave him be. I don't want to hear about him.
It
Don't want to hear it.
is funny
They're
because
both wrong.
when Bronny does get into games when it's not garbage time, he's terrible.
Who was it that cooked him?
The Sixers, I believe.
Maxi. Maxi embarrassed him. Like, it was sad to watch. Like, and I think Tyrese Maxey's fantastic. But like, Bronny looked like me out there. I mean, good Lord, it was an embarrassment. He doesn't deserve to be on the NBA court whatsoever. And he's only out there in garbage time. It's silly. It's silly. I mean, like, I know LeBron is at the stage of his career where he can do whatever he wants, and I get it. But it's just I think it's gotten a little out of hand now. And I mean, LeBron has a relationship with Stephen A. Smith. Why is he going up all tough talk, getting up in his face? Like, you could have very easily had a civil conversation. He should
Just
have gone on
settle it.
first take
Settle
if that's
it,
what he
not
wanted.
settle it like over a call or like something like that, right? Like,
Now,
don't make it public like this. Like do it privately.
one thing about LeBron James is the man loves his attention. If he thinks he can get attention from something, he will do it. Like this groin injury, out for a week or two. That's just a look at me. I've been playing injured all year, and look how great I'm playing. He loves his attention. If he thinks he can get attention, he'll do it. Like his fake retirements every offseason. Like, that's why he does that. So that's part of it. Defending your son, that's cool. I like it when parents defend their kids. That's a good thing. I just think it was a little stupid in the manner he did it. And this whole thing's a circus. So, hopefully next season Bronny progresses to a point where we can just talk about him as a basketball player and not the decent G League player that he is. I don't know. There's a lot of good players in the league we should be talking about, and Bronny James has taken up too much time on the airwaves.
Quick little side note before we wrap things up. This Raptors documentary Sportsnet's doing, like the four-parter, have you watched any of it?
Worst marketed documentary I've seen in my life.
Is it actually?
This should be huge. This should be huge. We should be talking about this. Part of it's because the team is terrible. That's part of the reason why no one cares. I see maybe one commercial a week about it. They're like 3 minutes long every time, and it's just weirdly done. It kind of feels like it's, how do I explain this? It kind of feels like a fever dream. Like, it doesn't feel like a real documentary. Like, it kind of feels like you're imagining it. It feels AI generated.
How
Like, I
long are the
haven't seen it.
episodes?
I haven't seen it on cable marketed. I think they're 40 minutes. I mean, I think it's pretty long, each episode. I don't know. I haven't seen it on cable. I haven't seen it promoted anywhere on their streaming service or their website. So, I mean, this is something that should be really interesting, but it's just completely fallen under the radar for me. So, this is something I should care about because I'd rather watch a documentary about the franchise than the current team. I should care, but I don't.
Anytime I see
So that's a failure in marketing.
Anytime I'm watching like a Canucks game or streaming on Sportsnet, that then I see it like every ad that's on Sportsnet, like Plus or whatever, or Go, whatever they call it now. But yeah, I don't have cable, so I don't know how often it's on TV, but
Not at
if
all, I don't think.
it's I've almost wanted to watch, but like I'm just like, eh, I'm not totally in
Part of me
tune
just
to
wants to
actors
skip
now.
to the Kawhi part.
Well, it's out now.
Like, one of the most heavily marketed part of it is, oh, Lowry DeRozan, Rudy Gay trade. DeRozan was devastated by being traded to the Spurs. Like, part of me is like, okay, I've heard this story before. Like, what new are we unearthing here? Like, that's the part of it, like going through the Vince Carter drama again. Like, well, I've already heard this story. That's part of my problem with it. Like, what new are you talking about? Doesn't seem like it's new.
It's not.
It's for the diehards.
It's more so just like
It's a history,
the
which is fine.
history lesson,
But
yeah.
the thing was, The Last Dance brought some new stuff to the table that we didn't know. What new are we getting from this? Doesn't look like much.
It's Sportsnet. What do you expect? Like, I mean, it's a puff piece pretty much. Anyways, that
Well,
everything you
hold on.
wanna.
Hold on. I want to talk. I know we did a little bit of it last week, but I want to talk about my Vancouver Whitecaps.
Oh, again. Oh, shit.
3-0 to start the MLS season. They are currently playing CF Monterrey right now in Mexico. It's tied at 1, 2-2 on aggregate. So we'll see how that goes. There's about 20 minutes left there. No Whitecaps team has ever started 3-0 in the MLS and done it with major injuries. I was in attendance last Saturday against Montreal. They lost Ryan Gold, their best player, 20 minutes in, and they still kicked Montreal's ass. This is a good team here, folks. Ali Ahmed just got called up to the Canadian national team. Brian White just got called up to the American national team. So people should pay attention because Jesper Sorensen has them playing an absolutely dominating brand of football. They lead the entire MLS in the box touches, which has never happened in Whitecaps history. Usually the Whitecaps kind of sit back all game, then hope to do something cool on the counterattack. It's what they did last year and basically every other year in their history. This year, they're actually playing an attacking brand of football, and it's really fun to watch. And people in Vancouver should support it because we
So
don't know the future of this team.
you're basically saying book it, Inter Miami, Vancouver, MLS Finals in November or whatever,
I
December it
hope
is.
so because Messi won't play. I mean, God. I mean, they never do anything in the playoffs, but and they've got some injuries they're dealing with. But boy, I hope they can sustain it because this is a good team. They got some nice uniforms. So watch it.
All right, wraps up this week. Next week we'll probably we'll have to figure out something NHL wise, because fuck, we've been on a tear of like what, four nations and then trade deadline, and then yeah, we'll have to figure out something for that. Wrap up the MLB predictions with the AL East. We will talk more about the NFL free agency, assuming there's more deals, and then we will, like always, figure out what we're going to talk about NBA, what happens during the week, because that's the point we're at with the NBA. The Raptors lost tonight, I saw, though. Or they won, sorry, which is basically them losing, because now they're ahead
Yeah.
of Brooklyn and Philadelphia.
Come on, Raptors. I want capture the flag.
So do I. But we're gonna need to do some heavy tanking here. So we'll
Yeah.
see. Got this far. Appreciate you listening. We will catch you in the next episode. Peace out.